This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin news and stories brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you along at 7:06. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by. We'll be talking to Mark Jacob this hour about media coverage of the week's big stories. Dan Schumacher will be along to talk sports. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us in just a sec, along with Greg Bach from Radio Park. But to answer the question, Pat, what do you mean when you're always saying unabashedly Wisconsin? It's a phrase we've been using since day one, back in the first days of 2020, to say that we at Up North News love this state so much. And we love it so much that we will call out those who threaten the things that make living here so great. Which, you know, includes a government that works when good people serve in it, fair taxes, clean natural resources, education for everybody. All of those things and more are what make us unabashedly Wisconsin. And that's what we stand for at Up North News. And we're very happy to work with our friends here at Civic Media to carry that message to you every weekday morning here from 6 until 8 o'clock. If you want to reach the show at any point, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or put a comment on YouTube, on the Up North News YouTube page, or the Up North News Facebook page, or the Civic Media Facebook page, like Rob does over on YouTube, where he says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 44 degrees. We had 15 hundredths of an inch of rain overnight. He says, my shoulder is still bothering me. A sharp one that goes from shoulder toward the elbow. I got to check it out. I forgot to mention yesterday was the 70th anniversary of Channel 7 in Wausau, WSAW, first television station to go on the air in north central Wisconsin. So happy 70th to Channel 7. So having received the weather report from Tigerton, it's time to get it for the rest of the state here from Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. It's a nice, mild morning. We got a little bit of rain like we needed.
I was going to say, did you notice that weird thing of water falling out of the sky last night?
What's that?
I know. It was very strange, but we finally got some rain around here.
We sure did. And areas in northwest, western parts of the state and far southeastern parts of the state got at least a quarter of an inch to nearly a half an inch. The rest of the areas, though, the driest spots really just picked up a trace to a tenth of an inch of rain. So we need more, but we'll take that. When it's clearing out of here, we're actually going to see bright and beautiful skies through the day today as a high-pressure system settles in for today, tomorrow, and even Sunday as well. So this means we have a bright, beautiful weekend. No rain in the forecast, at least for the weekend. And highs today will be in those mid to upper 50s. We've got a nice south breeze that's going to start to kick in and warm us up a little bit. So we will be into those mid-50s tomorrow, low 60s on Sunday, and then nearing 70 on Monday. And no joke, some of us could hit 80 degrees on Tuesday. So this is the beginning of a warm-up, but a nice seasonal weekend.
Wouldn't it be great if that upper 70s type of conditions that we plan to enjoy on Tuesday, wouldn't it be great if that lasted into Halloween? And Halloween night for all the little kids who are trick-or-treaters, he said, setting everybody up for doom and gloom and dismay.
The forecast is gloomy.
Yes. It's right now it's not looking really good. So
no.
Maybe surprise your neighbors and trick-or-treat on Tuesday instead of Thursday.
That's a good idea.
Here's some motor oil. I got a stapler. Whatever.
Here's some Penzi spices. Put that on.
I don't give away Penzi spices. Those are expensive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I mean, you put them on a Three Musketeers and it makes anything taste better, you know? Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Did you know that along with the radio shows here on Civic Media, there are some other podcasts that you can check out? The newest one is called Wisconsin Forward with Matt Rothschild, a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in the state of Wisconsin, background on how the state got where it is today, and a possible way out of the issue. So you can subscribe and download Wisconsin Forward wherever you get your podcasts or check it out on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Civicmedia.us is also where you can find out some information on sports, the sports that are being carried, high school sports on several stations around the network, and then things like Badger football. The Badgers host number 3 Penn State. It's a night game, pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 6:30. And you can listen on WLAK in Amory or WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, maybe WRJN in Racine Kenosha, or if you're over by Richland Center, WRCE. But Pat, I'm not near any of those places. Well, it's also going to be on the Civic Media app. So get that downloaded and dive in. Early voting, of course, is underway in Wisconsin, and the numbers have been so encouraging that what they should not be is discouraging in any way that you think, well, it's too popular, I can't go do it. Of course you can. Of course you can, and the lines won't be anything like they will be on election night. So to learn more about that, once again, head back over to civicmedia.us, where Dan Schaefer has put together a voting guide on all the legislative races. Over at upnorthnewswi.com, we have a voting guide with stories about some of the key races and some of the basics of voting as well. And you can always check out the Wisconsin Elections Commission website, myvote.wi.gov, for all the latest there. There's one more thing over at the Civic Media website to tell you about, and that was the latest story of a prominent Wisconsin Republican saying that they're going to be voting for Vice President Kamala Harris in the presidential race. Now, yesterday at about this time, it was the mayor of Waukesha, Sean Riley, saying that he was going to be voting for Vice President Harris. But then the other shoe dropped. There was another one. And this is the most senior member of the Wisconsin legislature right now, Republican Senator Rob Coles of the Green Bay area. Senator Coles is not running for re-election. There's new maps, new districts. He is, I had his age in here. I want to say he's like 72 years old, something like that. And he's saying, well, it's time to call it good. 74 years old. So he announced back in April he would not be seeking another term in the legislature. And he's now saying, before he rides off into the legislative sunset, that there's no way that he's going to be voting for Donald Trump. He said this exclusively to Civic Media. He said it on the Rational Revolution show hosted by Mark Becker. You'll recall Becker is the former chair of the Brown County Republican Party. He's now part of the group Wisconsin Republicans for Harris Walz. And the full episode will air tomorrow afternoon at 2:00. But obviously the news has already gotten out along with some of the quotes from there. And Rob Coles says, Trump has to be defeated and we have to protect the Constitution. And the country will go on even if there are some liberal things that Kamala Harris might do or might not do. You have to have the foundation of the Constitution to protect democracy. If you don't have that, we will disappear. Coles goes on to say, I really think this is one of the most important things I've done. Hopefully people will accept that and listen to me. Those that have trusted me and believed in me will think about that. And if they're undecided, that we have to make a change here. And again, that's Rob Coles. I served with Rob Coles in the legislature. He is, I described him last hour as a rock-ribbed Republican. A real one. A real Republican. Not whatever this MAGA movement is now, which has nothing to do with Republicanism. It has nothing to do, actually, with conservative politics. It is now a movement that has crept closer toward, tiptoed into, and in many ways fully embraced something that is much closer to authoritarianism. to fascism. And you're hearing more real Republicans talking about that. They're tired of being called rhinos, Republican in name only. At first, it really stung. They thought, hey, maybe the party is moving on without me. Well, where they're moving to is someplace you don't want to be. You don't want to be where they're taking the current Republican Party, because now that's what's Republican in name only. Rob Coles understands that. Sean Riley understands that. Liz Cheney understands that. 1,000 different national security officials. We've talked to 2 of them on this program in the past week who will tell you that what Trumpism is has nothing to do with what the Republican Party once stood for. The party of Reagan, the party that understood that Russia is one of our biggest threats. Now we've learned overnight that Elon Musk, the world's richest man, the one who is spreading more disinformation on Twitter, the platform he owns, than any other major source, we learned overnight about how often Elon Musk has been in conversations with Vladimir Putin. Elon Musk, Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump. That's an axis in and of itself right there that is completely antithetical to the notion of democracy and respecting the will of the voters. And Rob Coles talked about that. He said the big picture that really came to me in recent days in the last week was thinking about fascism in World War II and members of my own family who fought the fascists in Japan and Germany and all the guys buried all over the places in this country in Arlington. And then you've got Trump saying nice things about Hitler and sucking up to Putin? No, he is clearly our enemy. Putin is a living enemy. And we have to show the courage that people in the World War II era had. And again, if you want to hear that directly from Rob Coles, I urge you to tune into Rational Revolution tomorrow at 2 on the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app. Because the Russian influence is digging so deep into America right now, exactly as planned, using our own freedom of the press against us, using our own media system against us. You can see it in the comment sections. I'm seeing it in real time right now on YouTube, where somebody named George is typing in all caps, liar. The next one says liar. The next one says liar. The next one says, Russia is no threat, in all capital letter. And the last one, rhinos. Oh, here's the next one, no free press. George, I appreciate that you can work a keyboard really well, but you're only providing more evidence. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Well, I mentioned the comment section, and needless to say, some folks took umbrage to what somebody else put in there, and I don't normally give play-by-play of the comment section. I'm going to make an exception in this particular case in order to share a comment in here from a gentleman named Randy, who said, my uncle is buried in Anzio, Italy, and fought fascism. Now to see the fascist movement of Trump and Musk is both horrifying and saddening, that his death and all others who fought and died to protect American values is now under attack again, but from inside America. And you heard us talk about that earlier in the week with General, or actually it was just yesterday, with General Randy Manner, talking about how when he first took an oath as an officer, as a military officer, and he thought it was so odd that the oath includes to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and wondering, what do you mean by domestic? And this is what we have now, people who are hostile to democracy, who refer to people who disagree with them as the enemy within. and speak very highly of retribution, of jailing members of the press, of jailing political opponents. That's the kind of thing that we have to protect and defend the Constitution from. Another guy who swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and to serve the rule of law would be former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Jim, how are you?
Pat, good to be with you again this morning. Lots and lots of things going on in America, including the fight against fascism and that kind of thing. We embrace the First Amendment, your ability to say those things, but that also means that we can engage in very vigorous pushback, equally articulating views in the opposite direction, which is what we have to do.
Right. And I'll say, you know, we're going to try to wander away from presidential matters here, but if we're getting into this, the point that you've raised and that I've raised is that that recent Supreme Court decision talking about presidential immunity goes right at the heart of this, where according to those right-wing justices, especially the ones Trump appointed, he can meddle in and take over the Department of Justice and use it as a criminal tool to legally punish his enemies, like Putin did with Navalny and everybody else. And that should scare the bejesus out of everybody.
Absolutely. And actually, a program note, if I may, tomorrow morning on Amicus, we're going to spend a lot of time digging deep into that. Here's the point, which is that the claims that Donald Trump and others are making right now about using what the Supreme Court has said, remember, once again, your listeners know this well, absolute immunity for a president for any engagements, communications, directions to the Department of Justice. What can you do with that? You can plainly appoint people in these positions of responsibility. You can use pardon powers, again, which are virtually unfettered. All kinds of things in terms of programs, initiatives, the use of Department of Justice agencies. You can hire and fire the FBI director, all sorts of other agency heads, about 7 or 8 different things that are legal to do, but if abused, will result in the kind of fascist things that you and your listeners are talking about right now.
Exactly. So again, more on that on Amicus 9 a.m. tomorrow, and hear it again Sunday across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, I was thinking, are there things beyond all of the criming that former President Trump is doing and others, as we still try to tie a bow on the people who tried to essentially stage a coup in 2020? And we thought, can we get past that for just a moment? I know we're going to do more after the election, but if we were going to talk about things that weren't related to the presidential election, is there anything else? And how's this for a transition, folks? The Menendez brothers. Now, I can already hear people say, no, go back to politics. Please. Go back to politics. No, the Menendez brothers are these people who killed their parents a long time ago. The L.A. district attorney is seeking resentencing. What has brought that on?
Sure. And so a number of different things. Again, 1989 is when they killed. They admitted this. There were 2 trials back then. First one resulted in a mistrial. Second one resulted in their convictions and terms of imprisonment. No possibility of parole for life, that sort of thing. 2 things, really 2 sets of things. One is the media attention. There have been all kinds of there's been a docudrama, so to speak, coming out of Netflix. All sorts of other so-called educational, informational things put together about them. They have been a little bit in the media as well, as they've been given interviews. And so there's been that piece of it, just bringing to another generation, for many of us, obviously, who were at the time, renewed attention. The other piece of this, which is a little bit more in the legal area, is that some new evidence has come forward. And that includes a letter that was written by Eric Menendez many months before he and Lyle brutally killed their parents with shotguns, in which he describes the sexual abuse that he was suffering at the hands of his father, arguably his mother as well. He writes this letter to a cousin named, and that eventually ends up in the hands of a journalist named Robert Rand. This comes forward, and you think, well, gee, that sounds fairly self-serving. The significance of it wasn't part of the trial and would have maybe supported this notion, not legal forgiveness, if you will, to use a sort of a non-legal term, but certainly supporting their allegations in the first trial that the reasons for their doing this was this constant and unrelenting sexual abuse that at least one of them, maybe both of them, were suffering. In the second trial, the judge prohibited them principally from doing that. The jury never heard that, and then they get convicted. So that kind of evidence coming back again is, again, prompting the DA, again, as you indicate, in Los Angeles. His name is George Gascon. He's also involved in his own reelection campaign right now to seek today. He's indicated we'll do it. Told us yesterday, going to go into court, at least petition to the court today for their a reduction in their sentence. That probably will not happen today. We don't know when it'll happen, but almost certainly under California law, because of the way that when they were sentenced, they were under 26, it could mean that they will be released almost forthwith, almost immediately, when the judge puts his imprimatur on this. There's got to be a hearing. There's a process here, but it is significant. And again, not aside from just the sort of Netflix views of all this, because it does indicate that we should, from time to time, reconsider these cases when our views about things have changed. Here's a situation where maybe way back in 1994, which again, a long time ago, we didn't really appreciate the extent to which even males can be the subject of sexual abuse at the hands of their parents. Today, a greater appreciation of that. One wonders out loud what a jury would have done back then if they had had that information. That's basically what the DA is trying to remedy now.
It's very amazing. It gets into the whole heart of what juries can and can't hear based on things that happened in the past. You can hear much more about this from Jim Santel on Amicus, a Law Review, coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Jim, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure to be with you. We'll see you again next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Mark Jacob is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
I know a place where the grass is really greener.
Warm. So, Katy Perry turns 40 years old today. One of her hits was California Girls, and we begin our visit with Mark Jacob out in California as we review some of the things that are happening in the media world this week. You can get Mark's newsletter, Stop the Presses, at stopthepresses.news, along with his video series, Media Misses, with Stephen Beschloss. Mark Jacob, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
All right. So, now we go to California and what is happening over at the Los Angeles Times. And it is it's a combination of things. It's politics, obviously. It's, you know, what is the value in a newspaper editorial and a newspaper endorsement in this digital age? But also it's about corporations and money. And as somebody who has worked for the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, I'm guessing you know a thing or two about tension between journalists and the people who sign their paychecks. So with that in mind, how would you describe to the listeners what has happened this week at the LA Times?
Well, the LA Times was purchased about 6 years ago by a billionaire medical guy, a guy who made a bunch of money in medicine named Patrick Soon-Shiong. And he bought the LA Times and, done okay with it, but except that it kind of has had a smaller footprint than it used to, but it's still going, you know, that's a good thing. So the editorial board meets and they generally endorse Democrats. I mean, California is a blue state and they're real this year, Pat, there is a lot of reasons to be endorsing Kamala Harris. I would have to say when you like put the two candidates up next to each other. Anyway, so the editorial board at the Los Angeles Times says, yeah, we want to endorse Harris. And Soon-Shiong, the owner, says, no, you're not endorsing anyone. We're not going to have an endorsement, and which is very disappointing. A lot of people think that it's what has been called complying in advance or anticipatory obedience, where companies and people bend to a would-be dictator even before he forces them to, in order to protect themselves. And you're starting to see some indications in the news media that people are, that rich people and corporations are just trying to stay out of Trump's way by not making him mad in case he wins. And anyway, the good part of this story is that the head of the editorial board of the Los Angeles Times, Mariel Garza, resigned. And so did two other members of the editorial board. They said they couldn't remain silent. They were not going to comply with this. And that's the kind of courage we need in these times. Meanwhile, at the Washington Post, which has been the newspaper, real to me, one of the best newspapers covering the election, certainly better than the New York Times, they haven't made an endorsement yet, which is highly curious. And there's starting to be a lot of speculation in the Washington Post newsroom that they're not going to make an endorsement, that the owner, Jeff Bezos, doesn't want Trump to harass his big business, Amazon, and so he may just stay on the sidelines this time. The thing about it, Pat, I question the value of endorsements for president, since people have all the information they need. They don't need a newspaper telling them how to vote. But it's really important for institutions to step up at this time, I think.
Well, especially in light of the fact that some of these institutions' owners have government contracts. And right. As has been noted here, Bezos doesn't want to risk endangering Amazon's government contracts. You've got Elon Musk, who has all kinds of government contracts and yet is cozy with Putin and could help or hurt what's happening in Ukraine as a result. So resigning your job as editor of a newspaper, might not necessarily cause, a national chain reaction. But you got to start someplace, and you've got to have people who stand for principle.
Yeah, and you see some of that. I've been so disappointed in the way that these supposedly mainstream centrist Republican politicians just folded, like a house of cards to Trump. And when you see the few that didn't, recently you had, you guys had a longtime legislator in Wisconsin, right, who endorsed Harris.
Rob Coles, yes.
Yeah, and you have Fred Upton in Michigan, former congressman, Republican congressman. This happens one person at a time. People need to stand up. You and I are talking right now about how people need to stand up, and we're standing up. And everyone needs to do that. Everyone needs to, instead of just like kind of acting as if you don't have any control over what's happening in our society, if everyone does something, you do have control of your society.
Well, that gets us to CNN and whatever their business model is now for having talking heads on. And I've never seen it, but of course I'm always on social media, so there's always clips of this guy named Scott Jennings. Uh-huh. And the outrageous things that he's saying, which are so patently untrue frequently, and the other panelists call him out on it. But again, that's a talk show. That's right. Hardly news analysis when you're coddling and continually giving a platform to somebody who is spreading misinformation. Am I wrong in saying there's a difference between what your editorial output looks like?
Yeah, well, I think to a large extent that's entertainment. They want to have a bunch of people yelling at each other over a table, and they think that it's going to entertain people. One thing that's really important to emphasize is it's not just that CNN is giving Scott Jennings a platform. They're paying him to do that. And for years, CNN has hired crazy right-wingers. And, again, I've said this before on your show. Conservatives, fine. Be an ideological conservative. I respect that. Everyone has their opinions, and that's great. It's liars that bother me.
Yeah.
So, and Scott Jennings is like, trying to minimize the fact that Trump likes Hitler is, that's really a pretty untenable position, but he's taking it. And you know why he's taking it? Because CNN hired him to take it. There's a long history of people that they've hired in the past to do that same job, yes. To have that same role where you're the right winger who argues with the left wingers or the centrists, and therefore you have a, you know, a spirited conversation on TV.
Well, and guess what? I'm about to show an example of the opposite, and I'm going to have to plead guilty to this. Now, I've never watched this show on Fox called The Five, I think it's called, but I do frequently see social media posts because they have one progressive on there. I think Jessica Tarlov, am I saying her name right?
I think that's right.
Again, I've never watched a show, but when I see the clips of her takedowns of all the other conservatives around her are masterful. They're rooted in fact. But of course, she's not changing any of their minds. She's not changing any minds of the Fox viewers. And yet I enjoy seeing that in much the same way I'm sure Republicans enjoy seeing Scott Jennings. The difference is one's rooted in fact and the other's rooted in fiction. But I guess in some ways I'm kind of confessing that I'm glad there's somebody there calling things out. I'd rather have that than one person on there who they always have to correct because he's spewing misinformation.
Yeah, but see, this is my argument, is that if you're a news show, go find a conservative who's actually telling the truth. And I mean, you can argue for abortion. You can argue for that we don't need universal health care. You can argue we need a balanced budget. We need to not spend money on X and Y and Z. Those are all legitimate opinions, and you can find conservatives to say that if you try hard enough. Instead, they keep on platforming the liars. And I think there's a concerted effort among the Republican Party to put the same old liars on the big news shows. Tom Cotton, Lindsey Graham, Mike Johnson. You see those on the Sunday news shows all the time. And I think it's because the Republicans, I don't know this because nobody will explain it to us, but I think that the Republican Party is saying, take it or leave it, this is who you get. And if the news shows would try harder to find legitimate, honest conservatives, we'd have a less toxic news environment.
Well, I think that's what they have to do is okay, fine, we can't get it in the Senate, look in the House, we don't have them in the House. Here's a leading legislator from, you know, Maryland who is speaking out about this, because there was a time, and it wasn't all that long ago, when Republicans, like Democrats, all Americans, wanted to solve problems, which meant you'd have to like build things or create programs. But now the entire philosophy of conservatism isn't to solve problems efficiently, but to actually just shrink government for the sake of shrinking government.
Right. And so, make it less efficient.
Right. So that when they're faced with things that would actually take the spending of money, you know, I know it inside it kills some of them, but they can't. The orthodoxy is you can't spend a dollar more than you are right now. And that takes away any purpose whatsoever in solving problems or helping people.
Well, but Pat, it's also not just how much you're spending, it's how much you're taking in. And the big motive, I think the number one motive of the Republican Party right now is to give giant tax cuts to rich people, because rich people will give them money for their campaigns. It's this kind of this perpetual motion machine where the rich people give Republicans big bucks and the Republicans give big bucks back to the rich people.
So now we're getting to the point of the election where, and I'm already seeing the headlines out here of how they think things will finish. And I mean, can we be honest? Nobody knows how it's going to finish yet. So I don't know why, again, we're still talking about the race and not the stakes. But you see it in Axios, you see it in Politico, you see it in all of the media houses out here. You know, there's still enough time to talk about what's at stake, either issue or, you know, democracy itself.
Right.
But they just can't quit the polls.
Oh, no, it's all, it's horse race, you know, and it's also just like Axios has a horrible cheap story up today that says, leading Democrats are telling us privately that they feel that Harris is going to lose. Well, all right. And they say a growing number. Well, what's that growing number? Like they talked to three people yesterday and it was two people last week. Well, I mean, it's absurd. And also, if you know politics, Pat, people gossip in politics. That's what they do. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure we put enough money there. I think we put too much money there. We should have campaigned there. It's all about second guessing and speculation. That's what the whole industry is about. So you can certainly write a story saying there are a lot of people who have misgivings, because they always do.
Right. I mean, that's a Dog Bites Man headline if ever. And I, since we haven't picked on any headlines, let's pick on one of them from the New York Times that says, Trump flirts with the ultimate tax cut. No income taxes at all. Now, buried in the story is how the idea is mathematically impossible and economically destructive. But why a headline that just focuses on flirting with something that would be harmful instead of actually saying Trump promotes something that is harmful?
This is a great mystery to me, you know, and I used to write headlines for a living. And the New York Times headlines are way worse than their stories. If you read their stories, you kind of understand things a little bit, but their headlines are often really misleading. And they also, they just tend to fuzz the issues. Like they tend to not blame the people who are responsible for stuff. Although I don't even know why you wrote that, the story they wrote the way they did, because this idea that, well, maybe we don't need any income tax. Oh, please, of course we need income tax. And the only way we wouldn't need income tax is if Trump's giant fantasy that tariffs are a tax on other countries was true. And it's not. And nobody thinks that. No experts on the right or the left think that.
No, it's, and here's,
just, it's totally invented.
And here's the other one. Let's see, who did this one come from? Where it says, Harris uses ex-Trump chiefs of staff remarks to paint him as unfit for office. Well, it's not Harris using the remarks that should be the headline. Right. It's that Trump's ex-chief of staff is making these remarks.
Right, right. And it's like, well, Harris is painting him as a fascist. No, his former longtime chief of staff and Homeland Security Secretary is calling him a fascist. So is his former defense secretary. I mean, these are people who should know because they were in meetings with him.
Right.
And to say, well, this is a big political issue. It's not political tactic. It's a really scary fact or opinion by somebody who really should know that Trump says fascist things. That's what we should worry about. Not oh, this is an interesting tactic.
Exactly. So that was the Wall Street Journal, by the way. Mark Jacob, appreciate it. Once more before the election, have a good weekend. We'll see you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. Dan Schumacher's coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I think everything just sounds better in the new studio in Radio Park. Even the Grateful Dead sound better. Or at least it sounds better to you, Greg, right?
Oh, yeah, baby.
and of course, Dan Schumacher is always going to think so. So glad the new studio is working out. Yeah. Dan joins us from up in Ashland. How are you doing up there?
Well, it's a very crisp morning, fall morning here.
Yeah. Let me get a little steam rising off Lake Superior there.
There is not. Okay. There is not. I'm looking straight at the water right now, but the sun's coming up and sun's shining over across on Washburn, and it's supposed to be about a 55 degree day up here, so that's not so bad.
I bet it's just gorgeous here. We'll get to the Packers in a bit and the Bears, but let's start with the Vikings because they played last night in LA, and I missed this, but I'm looking at the headline now about a very controversial missed face mask penalty. Overshadowed the Rams beating the Vikings. Were you watching it live?
I was. It was a blatant miss. I mean, you could see where the referee is positioned behind the quarterback. He comes back, drops back to pass. He's getting protected in the left end, swims, comes in and reaches, and it just takes his whole mask and his whole head goes one way. And how the ref didn't see it, I mean, that would have gave him a first down and got him out of the goal line situation.
But and instead it was a safety and made it a 10-point margin.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. And that's how it ended, right? 30-20 Rams over the Vikings. Let me say this much about the game. Now the Vikings were 5-0. They're now 5-2, right?
Yes.
And I'll say this much. I would always be a little hesitant to go to the West Coast. I've been to California, but you know that whole thing about earthquakes, I just find is weird. The one thing I would go there for is that stadium, SoFi, is just gorgeous. I haven't done like any kind of a stadium tour or a ballpark tour. I've always wanted to. And most of it is baseball related, but boy, would I make a stop there. That looks like an amazing complex.
For not being, technically it's an open air stadium.
Which is kind of like a canopy over it. But that's how everything is in California there. Their malls are basically, they're always outdoor, but with this kind of canopy over the top for when it rains. But you don't need it for
the stadium. The stadium that I say it's kind of like a 10th wonder of the world. I'm not kidding you. It was Jerryland. Jerry Jones.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you of all the places where you've gone, the places where you've been in person. Yeah. What's the most impressive? And is it that one? Is it still AT&T Stadium?
It's so massive. I mean, you could buy a car Rolls Royce there. You could buy a fur coat there. I mean, it's like a mall built in. I mean, it's a mall built into a stadium.
Oh,
man. And there's so many people. They sell 30,000 standing room only tickets each game.
My goodness.
I mean, crazy. And when I've been down on the field, and when you look to the highest point of the stadium, it looks like ants. That's how large and high, and then you've got the massive video board that goes right down the middle of the field. It is just the 10th wonder of the world. I don't know. From an atmosphere standpoint, the best atmosphere in, I think, which is Michigan, University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. The big house. It's electric there, and I've actually been on the field. I've been at games, and but as far as size and scope, Jerry World beats them all.
Wow. We had standing room only tickets for last weekend's Packer game. The friend of mine that got the tickets did not realize at the time that they were standing room only. Oh. So he was a little chagrined, but it was a great experience. Yep. And where we were, you're in the concourse basically, and looking over the row of seats in front of you. Mm-hmm. And the winning field goal for the Packers, it kind of came right at us in the south end zone. And everybody's cheering, and it's great. And so we cheered for about 5 seconds, and then we were like the first ones out of the building. Was the nice part about standing room only, is it also meant we were standing close to the exit and could get on out of there. The Packers are in Jacksonville playing this weekend. It's a noon game, which means the pregame gets going at 10 a.m., and that includes Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. What are your Bears doing? They got moved
because they got moved to 325. They're playing the Commanders.
Washington. So gotcha.
They're going to highlight that game. And so, yeah. Okay.
They flex over. Already. They're already moving games around this weekend. So people who thought they were going to which game was it that got moved to the night game?
Wasn't it the Vikings game?
No, because it would be this coming Sunday. Somebody else has got Sunday night football.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, but
it's Dallas, San Francisco. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Hey, getting back to the Packers, have you been following the dispute between the Green Bay Packers organization and the city of Green Bay?
I only saw a new a note about it last evening, and the general gist of it is from people is like, okay, we're having an argument over how much the team should be paying a fee to the city, but the team can't like leave the city, but you also don't want animosity between the city and the team. So I think there's a whole lot of folks saying, guys, just work it out.
Yeah.
But there are other people who are taking a side.
They did a press conference yesterday live. I watched it on the TV, and they had the entire city council unanimously vote and support the mayor and the justification of what they were proposing back to the Packers. So there's some heated stuff going on between the Packers and the organization and the city. So
yeah, and I'm hoping that it cooler heads prevail and they eventually figure this out. Milwaukee Bucks, by the way, they have their home opener tonight against the Chicago Bulls. Any early word on how the Bulls are going to be this year?
Hopefully,
that was competitive. That was the perfect place to run out of time on. Dan Schumacher, thank you so much. As always, have a great weekend. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air in 2 little hours from now. I know you have this really good guest coming up, and I've lost track of
James Vanderloo.
There you go. All right.
So talking about tariffs, baby.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us for Up North News Radio this week. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.